Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, October 20th. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and with me today, perfectionist producer Mike Roy. How are you, sir?
Oh, I thought that was just between you and me, that perfectionist
No,
thing.
I want to share that with the world so everyone knows how awesome you are.
Oh, well, if it's used as a compliment, I'll gladly take it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. The aim for perfection is a beautiful thing. You know, we should all be shooting for such...
It's like, he's a perfectionist. Everything has to be his way or else...
No, I don't see it that way. Well, I see it as just, you know, striving for excellence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm all about it. Everyone out there should be striving for excellence.
Striving to be like Mike Roy.
That's right. I know I do.
No, you don't.
Well,
maybe you do. Okay.
We'll talk about that later. You can certainly call us here. The number in the studio, 404-231-1190. You can tweet your comments to @DanaHBarrett or just use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. As always, we've got some great clips this week from Business Radio X and lots of headlines and stories to catch you up on. And I don't really have a soapbox so much today as an issue that I want to discuss.
Well, it's my favorite part of your show.
Well, we're going to...
You can find something to complain about.
I can always find something, and I probably will throughout the show, but I have more of a topic than I want to get into that we'll do later on. Something that's kind of been hitting the headlines and disturbing me a little bit. So I want to talk with you guys about it and see what you all think. So get ready to tweet because I really do want to get your opinions. But before we do that, let's hit some headlines. First of all, I love lists. You know, I love lists. And I don't have a really Atlanta-specific list today, but I do have a little list that I want to share with you because it is October 20th, which means Halloween is right around the corner. So today's list is the 5 most popular Halloween costumes for 2013. In the number one position, the Minions from the Despicable Me movies. That's number one. Number two, costumes inspired by Walter White from AMC's Breaking Bad. Number three, this one is great, foxes, inspired by the popular YouTube video sensation, What Does the Fox Say? Have you seen this video?
Oh, why? My brother showed me that a few days ago, and I just cannot get it out of my head.
There you go. You and half of the Halloween costume buying population, because everybody now apparently wants to dress like these knuckleheads.
Just when I had forgotten about it, you bring it up.
There you go. Just for you. Number four, costumes from the A&E series Duck Dynasty. And last but so not least, Miley Cyrus. Please, people. I mean, if you are in your 20s or, you know, even over 18 and you want to put your hair in stupid little pigtails and kind of be naked in a teddy bear costume, go for it. But please don't let your little girls do this, people. Just please, I'm begging you not to let your little girls do this. Please. Okay. The other non-sort of list I have today is, I don't have the whole list here of the best pizza in 10 big cities around the U.S., so I don't have the list of all of them, but what I do have is the fact that Antico Pizza here in Atlanta is named on the list. So it is actually named as one of the best pizza places in the U.S., Antico Pizza. If you have not been there, it is awesome. It's kind of over in the West Midtown area. Hemp Hill Avenue is where it is, and they kind of have family-style seating. You can see into the kitchen, see them making the pizza. And the owner, Giovanni De Palma, also runs a couple other places. He's got Gio's Chicken Amalfitano, I think, if I'm getting that right, and Cafe Gio, and is buying up some other property along Hemp Hill Avenue near Georgia Tech, hoping to create sort of an Italian food district over there. So that's pretty cool. Antico Pizza, best in the U.S., right here in our little town of Atlanta. Gotta love it.
Our little neck of the woods.
That's right. You know, there's a lot of Atlanta sort of headlines that I want to talk about, and I also have a really great Atlanta-specific clip for you today. Once a month on the Good Morning Atlanta show, I have the privilege of having Dan Williams from Central Atlanta Progress come in, and he will often bring me guests from around the city that are doing interesting things. And so this week, he came in, and he himself gave me some great updates on all kinds of stuff around town. The Falcon Stadium, the multimodal passenger terminal. We talked about a lot of the different things going on. And so I do have a short clip from that I want to share with you But before we do that, I just want to mention that in the headlines this week was a note that the Falcon Stadium groundbreaking will take place the week of March 31st. So progress, progress, progress on that south site that has become official. So let's take a listen to this clip and get caught up on All Things Atlanta with Dan Williams. It's now official that the south site is the site for the new stadium.
Indeed.
Any thoughts on that, Dan?
Well, yes. we're happy that the south site is the site. Obviously, it's extremely complicated when you talk about a project of this scale. Two historic churches that have had to sell, and that's certainly unfortunate. There's so many moving pieces and things to think about in something this big. Our really main concern, at least in terms of the site, was transit access, and then obviously we want in the bigger picture, to leverage this project for revitalization of South Downtown. Programs that really benefit the neighborhoods and around the stadium, things that weren't done as well or well at all with the previous stadium and Turner Field and other things that have happened in Atlanta. We certainly want to see a real kind of coordinated focus for the city, state, all the players involved, certainly the Falcons, to leverage this project. To make it something that is much more than just a stadium. It's something that is really kind of a jumping off point, and one of the first of many big things, like the multimodal passenger terminal that'll happen in the south part of downtown. That'll really kind of be benchmarks that we look at and 10, 20 years and said that was the point when South Downtown really began to really change.
Again, that was Dan Williams from Central Atlanta Progress. Now, also joining me on that interview was Frank Brown, who is the new executive director of the Butler Street CDC, which used to be the Butler Street Y. It's closed right now, but they're planning to reopen the Butler Street CDC under that name, so it won't be part of the Y anymore, but it will be a community center, and they're planning to open that coming up in 2014 as well. So lots of great stuff in that interview. You can check out the entire interview at goodmorningatlanta.businessradiox.com. And the thing that was cool about having Dan talk about the Falcon Stadium is just that he kind of knows some of the inside story from, the government side of things about, Central Atlanta Progress is a separate organization from the city of Atlanta, but they are very, informed on what's happening in the city and why. And I like the fact that they really are trying to work on the community around the south site as well as the stadium itself. So first of all, they got the site they wanted in terms of public transportation, which is awesome, but hopefully also it will help to revitalize that south side of downtown. We'll see. Obviously, Turner Field didn't really do that. When you go to Turner Field, you sort of go to Turner Field and come home. You don't hang out. But hopefully the new football stadium will be a little bit different. So anyway, that's kind of a cool story. I had a lot of stories this week, Mike, where I was like shaking my head. I was like, really? Is this really happening? So we're going to probably get to those in the next segment. So let me just give you some of the more cheerful updates, first of all. If you're into the Sweetwater 420 Festival, know this. In 2014, the Sweetwater 420 Festival will be moving from Candler Park to Centennial Olympic Park. The main reason for that is not because they don't like Candler Park. They love Candler Park. They're very happy with Candler Park. But the festival's getting so big, they actually need more space, and they want people to have more easy access with MARTA and all of that. This past year, 60,000 people attended the festival. Wow. Yeah, huge. So, and I'm sure they're expecting even more next year. And believe it or not, this is how fast time flies. It's been 10 years since they started that. 10 years. Anyway, so that's going on. So that's moving to Centennial Olympic Park. So next year, don't show up at Candler Park on that day. Just saying. Also, speaking of parks, Piedmont Park. Now, this was one that I sort of shook my head and said, I don't know how I feel about this. Because Piedmont Park and Grant Park now have free Wi-Fi. So on the one hand, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That's really, modern. It's really, forward thinking. You're in the park. You can get on your iPad or whatever, and use or your laptop, and you can work in the park, and that's great. On the other hand, I think to myself, really, do we need to have technology everywhere. Can't we just be in the park and, you know, toss a frisbee, maybe throw a ball, take a jog, you know, ride a horse? I don't know. Something that's earthy and natural and doesn't require technology. That's my question.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm of two minds because, you know, there is the part of me that is, like, ridiculously attached to my equipment and screens and all of that. So, you know, I can certainly see the benefit of it, but then also I just sort of shake my head and say, I'd love to know what you all think. I am not so set in my opinions, she said. That
allegedly.
I'm not allegedly, exactly. I'm sure the people in my household would beg to differ, but I would love to hear everyone's opinion. So, you know, if you like the idea of Wi-Fi in the parks, you know, tweet it at me, #BizRadio. If you don't like the idea of Wi-Fi in the parks, you can tweet that at me too. So, or you can call us 404-231-1190. I'd love to hear what you think. And if you would use it or not, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I would use it. I don't go to the parks that much, I have to admit. So maybe I should just get out there myself and throw a ball around or a frisbee and stop picking on other people who do go out there, who want Wi-Fi.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. I've got a lot more Atlanta headlines to go through with you and some great clips from Business Radio X. We'll be back right after this.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Biz 1190 brings you an evening with Donald Rumsfeld. Hi, this is John Ransom, finance editor at townhallfinance.com and host of Ransom Notes Radio, inviting you to join me at the Atlanta History Center in Buckhead as we host an evening with Donald Rumsfeld. Don't miss your chance to hear Rumsfeld's rules on leadership, business, politics, war, and life, brought to you by Jewelry Artisans and the Stone Mountain Pecan Company. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $35. Get yours now at biz1190.com. VIP packages available too. Details at biz1190.com. Always right on the money. I'll see you there.
Join Tom Busby for DTI Market Buzz, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190. Tom provides daily insights and analysis on how money is being made and lost in the market.
DTIMarketBuzz.com.
Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190.
Hi, I'm Dana Barrett. Join me every Sunday at noon for the Business Radio X Week in Review. With all the information coming at us every day, it's easy to miss something. But not to worry, I've got you covered. Every Sunday, I'll catch you up on what's happening in Atlanta and introduce you to the innovators who move Atlanta's bottom line.
This is Atlanta's business talk of the town. Keep it locked on Biz 1190 and biz1190.com. Biz 1190 weather.
A good deal of sunshine throughout this afternoon, and it will be pleasantly warm for this time of the year, high near 70. A very nice evening, skies no worse than partly cloudy tonight, low 49. Sunshine mixing with a few high clouds tomorrow, but it will be another comfortable day, high 72. And more clouds move in for Tuesday. Also be a few peaks of sunshine, along with a passing shower, high 70. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Carl Erickson for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is still the Week in Review from 1190 AM.
We haven't gone anywhere yet.
Business Radio X, Dana Barrett, Mike Roy, hanging out Sunday, you know, chilling here in the studio. So listen, I know we've been talking over the course of the last couple months since Week in Review has been on the air about the Georgia 400 toll removal project. I gave my unrequested opinion on what I thought of that project. But it is what it is, and it is happening. So just to give you a little update on that, the project of removing the tolls at Georgia 400 is about to start. You will see some lanes being remarked. You'll see some cones. You'll see some signage. It's going to cost $3.5 million. It's due to be completed in terms of everything being gone by next fall. However, the tolls will actually stop in December of this year. So I don't know if we're going to see some delays as they do this. It's going to cut the existing 9 lanes there at the toll booth down into 3. Hopefully that's enough. I mean, it's 3 on either side, you know, and then it just kind of widens and goes back. So I just can see us like 10 years down the road being like, you know what, we should put a toll booth in on 400 so we can make some revenue, and spending another $3.5 million to put it back. But whatever. You know, they didn't ask me, Mike, so I'm just going to have to accept that it's happening whether I like it or not. Here's a story that I wanted to share with you because it is an Atlanta story. Anything related to the family of Martin Luther King Jr. is sort of an Atlanta story. So this story hit the headlines this week, and I thought it was sort of sad and interesting, and so I'm going to share it with you. Singer Harry Belafonte is suing the children of Martin Luther King Jr. over some documents that he says were given to him by Dr. King. He was good friends with Dr. King, one of his closest friends, according to the story. And Belafonte, who is now 86 years old, filed this lawsuit Tuesday, and he's seeking unspecified damages, saying he owns the items. Well, the thing is, you know, there are some papers, there are some documents, there were letters from Dr. King. There were a couple of things he had hanging on the walls of his apartment that chronicled his friendship, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Dr. King's children claim that these items were taken without permission from the estate and belonged to the estate of Martin Luther King Jr. And the thing is, there's a couple of things. Like, my first response is every time I read about Martin Luther King Jr.'s kids, it's because somebody's suing somebody. And so I have to question that a little bit. You know, if you're constantly being sued or suing somebody, something ain't right, you know. But then on the flip side, you know, if Harry Belafonte's just wanted these things for his own personal, you know, enjoyment because this was his close friend, that's one thing. But he was actually trying to sell them through one of the big auction houses, Sotheby's. And so that's why it came into question, I think. So you know, if he was trying to profit on his friendship, then I don't know if that's good. But then the kids, I don't know. The thing that's just sad to me is that all of this sort of tarnishes the memory of Dr. King a little bit. And I don't like to see that happen. I wish that they would. So, you know, what's funny about this is the items in question now, because of the lawsuit and because of the ownership is in question, are being held at Sotheby's. Because if they take them, if they give them to the wrong party, then they can be liable. So they have to, now that they're in question, Sotheby's, they're just in a back room somewhere at Sotheby's, right? So that's kind of sad, too, that these documents are just sort of being held. So I would like to see somebody say, enough of this nonsense, let's just take them and, like, donate them to, you know, the Smithsonian or something like that, you know, for the good of everyone in the country, not for some individuals, whether they're family members or friends or whomever, to profit from. You know, Dr. King is a, you know, national treasure at this point, so why don't we let his papers and whatever belong to everyone. I don't know. I just find that a little sad when people start suing each other over, you know, friends and family suing each other over, I don't know, just find it sad. Okay. I have a great clip for you this week from our Gwinnett studio. And I do also have some more headlines from around town, but I want to get to this clip before I run out of time running my mouth, which does tend to happen here. This clip is from, again, our Gwinnett Business Radio show on Business Radio X. The show airs every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. It's hosted by Mike Salmond and Stephen Julian. And this week, this Thursday, they had Dr. Mark Newton, who is the director of the Hotel, Restaurant, and Tourism Management Program at Gwinnett Tech in Lawrenceville. And Dr. Newton's talking about some of the programs. And so I want you to take a listen to this, and we'll talk a little bit about it.
You think of Gwinnett Tech and you hear the tech part, people think vocational schools. Okay, that's where you go to be a mechanic. But you have a broad array of classes there. Talk about all the things and all the degrees you offer at Gwinnett Technical College.
It has changed so much And I started teaching classes in 1987, and it was, Mike, you're exactly right. It was a vocational school.
I'm rarely wrong, by the way.
Yes, you're
so.
Rarely wrong.
Oh, sorry.
But it has changed so much. And we have now become a technical college, part of the system of Georgia. And our big job is trying to get people to become more employable, help them with their careers. And so there are all kinds of different programs, anything from automotive to business, to marketing, to accounting, to computers, to health. Health has been really big. That we have a whole brand new building, and that program has really exploded. But you know, and people are learning skills that will help them find employment and help them. And a lot of students come to us already employed. And what we're doing is helping them grow their careers, helping them with promotions, and help them, have a great career.
There are schools, a lot of schools have reputations for being really strong in certain areas. Like, you got to get your degree. If you want to be in that field, this is a school you need to go to. At Gwinnett Tech, is there an area where you really excel and that's a really good school? If you want to do this, you got to go to Gwinnett Tech.
They really excel in hotel, restaurant, and tourism. The instructor is unbelievable. I'm just kidding, Mike. Just kidding.
Wait, by the way, we're talking with Dr. Mark Newton, the director of the Hotel, Restaurant, and Tourism.
Wait a minute.
Well, one of the things that's really taken off, though, is the health, because there's such a need out there. And it's a lot of we have over 800 students apply for not many openings, so it's really very competitive admissions, but there are so many. The computer program is terrific. What I love is the automotive, because they work with a lot of automotive companies such as Chrysler, and what they do is that they come in with certification programs. They learn these particular programs done by, for example, Chrysler, and then they have a job right after that. And so they do a great job, just like Gwinnett Tech, working with industry and finding out what needs they have and then helping to provide those needs.
Okay, that was, again, Dr. Mark Newton.
I'm trying to get your attention, you're just ignoring me.
You know what? I was trying to look at my Twitter and see if anybody tweeted me.
Oh.
And so I was trying to multitask, and I just
self-plug.
Didn't work very well.
You weren't that late. It's okay.
I know. I was just like half a second. Jeez, you perfectionist, you. See, I told you. Anyway, that was Dr. Mark Newton from Gwinnett Tech, and that you can hear the rest of that interview on GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. You know, I thought it was an interesting clip because, you know, he talks about the programs they have to help people, you know, find jobs and find employment, which is, you know, huge in this economy that we've struggled with for the last however many years, and people losing jobs. And the big news that we've heard over the last however many years is that so many kids are coming out of college with their four-year degree, and they're moving back in with mom and dad because they can't get a job. So if your kids are sitting there at home, your 21 and 22 and 25-year-old kids are sitting on your couch, mom and dad, maybe you want to suggest Gwinnett Tech. They're not paying me to say that. I'm just offering it up as some advice. Maybe you want to send them over there and see if they can't find some kind of program that would help them become a little more employable. It is interesting because I am also of two minds. This is like the Of Two Minds show, because I'm of two minds on this too. You know, I went to school for a very vocational job, because that's what my parents encouraged me to do back in the 80s. And, I actually went to school for hotel and restaurant management just as a coincidence, but, I didn't do it because I loved it. You know, I didn't do it because I was passionate about it. I did it because it was a vocation and it would help me get a job and make money. And so I really encouraged my daughter, who's now in her 20s, to go after the education that interested her the most, not the one that would make her the most money. So I definitely can see both sides of that argument. And I guess what I would like to say is that it would be great if you could pick a vocation, something that would give you a job and make you money, that you also loved and were passionate about. So I would love, you know, the young folk out there and the old folk my age too, who are looking for second careers and whatever else, to try to think about both sides of that equation, not just the money. Because if you go into healthcare just for the money, you're not going to be effective. You have to love it. You have to love it. So I like to see both sides of that. We're coming up against a break here, but I've got some other kind of sad headlines about jobs right after the break. So stay with us. We'll be back.
The
your source for financial news. This is Biz 1190.
At RJL Wealth Management, we believe effective financial planning requires regular communication and ongoing oversight. So if someone sold you an annuity contract, ask yourself, when was the last time you heard from them? Instead of waiting and wondering, double-check your annuities and stay informed about your options at no cost. RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free analysis of your fixed, equity indexed, or variable annuities with an RJL Wealth Management advisor. Schedule an annuity double check. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or request an appointment at annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
I'll never forget that moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Georgia National Guard. Aired by the Georgia Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Business people generally are the hardest working people on the planet. If you work hard, you deserve to play hard. That's why Biz 1190 invites you to join us for a trip to Israel. Relax on an all-inclusive trip. Go as a group and enjoy all the fruits of your labor. The Biz 1190 Israel trip is October 17th through the 26th, 2014. Get all the details at biz1190.com. That's biz1190.com.
You know what? We're back. We're back, and I'm irritated already. I'm irritated.
Well, what did I do wrong?
You
this
didn't
time?
Do anything. It's not you.
That's just my go-to response whenever you're not happy.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you, you know, ready to take the blame. But no, this is Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. Mike Roy is hanging out with me here, and I'm irritated, and here's why. I was just looking at my email on the break, and I have this bogus email from Apple, quote unquote, not really from Apple, but a fake Apple email that says, "Dear customer, we have updated the Section 10 of the security policy and our privacy to make our website more safer." Okay, so you can already tell by the grammar that this did not come from Apple. "Simpler and more convenient for our customers. You have tried to access your account more than once from several places and have exceeded the allowable limit for access times for this reason that your account has been frozen. No, 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 and no. Here's the thing." And then, of course, it says, "Click on the following link, restart your information, verify now." Do not click on links like this, people, ever, 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 ever. Read carefully. The minute you hear bad grammar, you know it's fake.
I'm totally with you on that one.
And even if it doesn't sound fake, don't click on a link in your email. Go to the website that's claiming it's from directly. Go into a browser, type in apple.com, go to your account, make sure everything's okay. Do not ever, ever click on a link from an email like that. Now, the reason I saw that and got so, yeah, exactly, Mike is mouthing virus, yeah, virus, you know,
ID, textbook virus,
identity
right
thief,
yes.
You know, something
it's never a good thing.
No. And the reason I bring it up is because in the headlines also this week, Georgia along with 46 other states have obtained a $30 million judgment against membership program marketers. The company was called Affinion, based in Connecticut. And they had some subsidiaries, one called Trilegent and one called Web Loyalty. The allegations are that they misled consumers into signing up for services that promised discount travel, roadside assistance, and credit monitoring. People, please be careful. There are so many scoundrels, jerks, and other things, names I can't call on the radio because I'll get bleeped. There's just so many jerks out there trying to, cause you problems. And you just have to be so careful anymore. If you're going to buy any service, if you're going to give your credit card to anyone, you've got to do your homework, honestly. If it's a brand name you know and recognize from the mall, you're probably okay. You know, if you're giving your credit card online to J. Crew or Banana Republic or something like that, you're probably okay, or Home Depot, or, you know, the big names. But anything you are not 100% sure about, you've got to do your homework. That's all I'm saying. So it's, you know, at least they were called on it, and they are going to have to pay. Apparently $562,000+ of that fund is designated for Georgia consumers. And also the state of Georgia is getting some kind of money from them as well. I don't know why. But you just really have to be so careful anymore. It's sad that that's the way the world is. I mean, you know, I think the world's always been like that. It's just that now these scumbags have a tool that they can use to get to everyone really, really easily. Before, they had to call you or come to your door or whatever, and now they have the interwebs in which they can reach through and grab you. So be careful. Before the break, we were talking about Gwinnett Tech and the little clip I had from Gwinnett Business Radio, and talking about vocations and jobs and getting jobs and all of that. And I mentioned that there were some kind of bad job stories that I had to share with you that are going to affect the Atlanta area. One is that the German engineering and electronics giant Siemens is going to be eliminating 15,000 jobs over the next year as part of an $8.1 billion cost cut. And we're unclear about how much of that is going to affect the Atlanta area, but I'm sure you know just from driving around Atlanta that Siemens has a pretty significant presence here. There's the Siemens Healthcare unit, and also Siemens Building Technology unit. There's a big Siemens complex in Alpharetta. So I don't know. They say 33% of the cuts will be in Germany, but no word yet on the different impacts around the U.S. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I'm sure if you work at Siemens, you already know this, and you're probably biting your fingernails down to the quick. So I hope you keep your job. If not, you can go to Gwinnett Tech, and everything will be okay. Also on that note, SunTrust, which is an Atlanta-based company, will be cutting 800 of their mortgage employees as the refinancing boom comes to a halt. Interest rates are going up, less people are refinancing, therefore 800 of those mortgage employees will be looking for a job also. So that's kind of a bummer, but it is what it is. You know, some of these industries, what can you do? Hopefully people are thinking about what else they can do, what else they want to do. It does kind of bring you to this whole point about, we've talked about this before, about in this day and age, it's sort of good to not have all your eggs in one basket. I mean, freelancing is scary and insecure, but, you know, you can't really get laid off when you're a freelancer. You just find another client. So anyway, see, the news today, this is so sad. It's all sad news. It's all making me feel down and low, and I don't, it's a beautiful day, so I should try to be upbeat and happy. Here's another one that I raise an eyebrow on, and I'm of two minds about, and that is the Black Friday shopping extravaganza, which has been a part of our culture for as long as I can remember, and certainly as long as probably most people can remember, that, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, we all run to the mall and go crazy and buy things on sale. But here's the problem. It's gotten crazier and crazier and crazier as the years go by. So first of all, it was just like the mall opened at the normal time and you went and you saved money on Black Friday. Then it was the mall was opening at 8 a.m. Then it was 6 a.m. Then it was midnight. So as of last year, a lot of the stores and the malls and whatever were opening. And I think this has been going on for the last maybe 2 or 3 years, that the malls were opening at midnight after Thanksgiving for people to go shopping. Well, now both Macy's and JCPenney are saying they're going to open on Thanksgiving. So,
Black Thursday?
I mean, last year, I guess Target did that. Target opened at 9 p.m. on Thanksgiving. And Walmart, Sears, and some of the Toys R Us stores opened at 8 p.m. So this year, Macy's and JCPenney are joining the club and going to open in the evening on Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't know about everybody else, but I would think that after a big Thanksgiving meal, the last thing I would want to do is go to a mall and shop.
You know what? I know my daughter and her girlfriends, like, just for funsies, went at midnight a couple years. I don't know if they even bought anything, but they just went because it was kind of fun to be in the mall at midnight. But this is the problem. Can we stop, please, with the consumerism? Listen, I love to shop, and I love stuff as much as the next guy, and I am the last person to get on a soapbox about criticizing anybody about their buying habits, because I'm sitting here with my designer tote bag and whatever, right? But can we just like I'm concerned about the parks having Wi-Fi, you know, and I'm of two minds about it. This one, I'm not even of two minds. Like, enough with the consumer. Can we have one day, just one, Thanksgiving, just that day, where the stores are closed and we're enjoying our family and we eat a bunch of turkey and we feel fat and sit on the couch and, you know, veg out and watch some football, right?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I mean, midnight, I kind of, sort of understand.
Maybe.
But Thanksgiving night, there's no excuse for that.
Come on. And now you're going to have people, like you. I cook a big Thanksgiving dinner every year, and I usually have anywhere from 15 to 22 people at my house. And if somebody got their bag and started to leave my house at 8 because they wanted to go to the mall, I would be so irritated. I mean, if they wanted to leave at 8 because they were tired, different story. But if they're leaving at 8 because they need to go save 50% on something, no. Come on. It's crazy. So I would like to propose a boycott. I would like to propose right here, right now, a weekend review, Biz 1190.
You just couldn't resist that self-plug.
Boycott of shopping on Thanksgiving Day. Please, please, please do not do it.
I will sign.
Let's not support this nonsense. Let's just enjoy one day with our family and friends. Please. That's all I'm saying. All right. Going to be cheerful and
move
on.
Well, before you know it, people are going to start celebrating Thanksgiving earlier and earlier because the malls are just going to open earlier and earlier.
Right.
Like, soon it's going to be all of Thursday. And then
right.
When does it stop?
Before the time runs out, I want to air this clip for you from Atlanta Business Radio. And we'll talk about it after the break because we're going to be right up against the break here. But this is from the Atlanta Business Radio show, and it's Elise Hammett, who is a public relations professional, and she's talking a little bit about the PR Society of America. So take a listen to this.
PRSA offers so many member benefits for a great annual payment value. Mm-hmm. You know, we constantly have access to free webinars, to a monthly meeting where the best networking in the city is done, to accreditation, which all three of us have, that is a real definer for our industry.
Accreditation, APR, is that?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
It means that you're accredited in public relations. Mm-hmm. It is just that simple. And, you know, the easiest way to define it for us, Lee, is if you had an accounting issue, would you go to a bookkeeper or would you go to a CPA?
Right.
If you had an opportunity to, if something was going on with your heart and you wanted an opinion, would you go to your internist or would you go to a cardiologist?
Right.
So the accreditation is a voluntary program that is established by the National Society, and what it does is helps us take our profession to the next level so that we are standardized in how we speak, and it helps professionals think critically on behalf of their clients.
All right, again, that was from the Atlanta Business Radio show. You can hear the whole interview at atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And again, that was Elise Hammett, who is a certified PR person, an APR, they call it. She's also VP of Public Relations at EOS Marketing and Communications. It's another subject I'm of two minds about, all these accreditations and certifications in so many different fields. And it's the same kind of thing in a weird way as when I was talking about internet scams. You know, there's so many different accreditations and certifications out there. You really, really have to do your homework and figure out which ones are valid and which ones are just somebody trying to take your money, giving you a course maybe, but it's a certification that nobody cares about, right? So you really, really have to do your homework. I don't know. I mean, I know I was in technology when all that started, and I chose not to do it, and my career did not suffer, but things have changed. Some of the certifications are critical, some are not. So do your homework, and Stay with us because we'll be back with more nonsense right after the break.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,300 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,300 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
The Art of Marriage is taking place at a church near you every weekend in October. This day and a half event is a couple's retreat from family life, similar to their Weekend to Remember conferences. The event will equip you and your spouse with the tools you need to strengthen your marriage and get that tune-up you need from time to time. You'll walk away encouraged, refreshed, and more committed to each other, as this event is designed to heighten even the best of marriages. Find an event near you and get more info at biz1190.com.
Hi, this is the Wizard. Join me and the Fox every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. The show's about the stock market. We are in a great bull market. It will last another 3 or 4 years. So let us teach you how to make money and be a winner on Wall Street. Whether you're a trader or an investor, we can teach you how to win. So join us Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. Be a winner.
It's that time of year again. Time to reconnect with friends and family. Exxon and Mobil can help you fuel those connections. Our gasoline is designed to help clean intake valves to get your car better fuel economy.
Show us who you want to connect with for a chance to each win $1,000 of gas in Exxon and Mobil's photo contest. Winners daily. Full rules at FuelingConnections.com. Exxon and Mobil. Fueling connections. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 plus. Ends 12/31/13. Prize awarded as Exxon Mobil gift cards. Restrictions apply.
With traffic reports that are always right on the money, this is Atlanta's Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. And Mike Roy, Dana Barrett hanging out. Yay! Dana Barrett, Mike Roy hanging out. Whatever, we're having a good time here in the studio. I have a couple more quick headlines I just wanted to mention before we get into the topic of the day that I wanted to share with you all and get your thoughts on. First of all, I don't know how much you all know about crowdfunding, but it's one of those buzzwords that people have been tossing about, if you will, for quite some time now. And the simplest version, of course, is something like Kickstarter, where you know a lot of music and arts and things like that have been trying to raise money through, you know, basically the friends and family and the next level out, I guess, is sort of, as opposed to just calling your parents and being like, hey, I need $1,000 to make this record, you can now sort of use Kickstarter and hopefully find other people to contribute. But you don't, as a contributor through something like Kickstarter, you don't get a share of the company. You're just contributing because you think it's a cool idea and you want to support it, right? And there have been some big projects that have been funded that way, and some very well-known ones, remakes of TV shows and things like that that have been funded through Kickstarter. But there's been a push to have crowdfunding be allowed and have the people funding actually get a share of the business. Well, when that happens, of course, the SEC has to get involved. And apparently what's happening right now is there may be a new rule passed, I guess. I don't know the right terminology for this, but there may be a new rule passed next week that will allow some easing of the rules for funding a company through a crowdfunding type situation. It used to be that you had to be a qualified investor, you had to have at least $1 million in liquid net worth or a $200,000 annual income. And the company taking the investment had to verify that. It was their job to verify that. Well, this new law would allow businesses to raise money through crowdfunding from you could get no more than $5,000 a year from investors who have a net worth less than $100,000. So much smaller chunks. And you would no longer have to qualify those investors. They would just be able to self-qualify. They could say, hey, listen, I make less than, or I make around $100,000. I want to give you five. We're good to go. So you may want to read more about this if you have a small business and you're looking to find investors. But just know that a new law is looking like it will pass next week. So keep your eyes out for that. Also next week, very possibly new iPads expected to be announced at an Apple event next week. So not sure what they're going to include, but they really only have updated the iPad, I think, once since its original launch. I think the new one's supposed to be thinner and maybe a smaller outside. I'm not entirely sure, but you know, whenever Apple does something, everybody sits up and listens. So next week, you may want to sit up and listen. I'm okay with my current iPad. I'm not going to spend any money to get a new one, but you might want to. So, okay. One of the things I like about this show, when people ask what we do here, we sort of do whatever we want, and yeah, that's what I like about it. The thing is, and I've said this before, my philosophy on business is that it's all business. Everything we do, if you're spending money on something, it's business. You know, if you're in a restaurant, you're buying food, or you're in the grocery store and you're buying, those are all different businesses. So unless you sit home and never move and don't have a mortgage, then you're not involved in business. Otherwise, no matter who you are, you touch business in some way, probably multiple times a day, every day of your life. And that allows me, which I love, to talk about anything I want. So here's what I want to talk about for this last segment. A couple of stories have kind of come to my attention this past week. One, I happened to read an article, and everybody's going to get on me for this, I think, because I'm going to say some things that are not politically correct. So bear with me, because I have a real point. But I read an article a week or so ago about... it was written by a woman who was basically saying she had tried every diet known to man and she was unable to lose weight. And so she had decided that she was going to be comfortable with her body the way it was, and she was no longer... Oh, and she did the research. Diets don't work. She found all the statistics that backed up evidence that diets don't work. The people who go on diets lose weight, they gain it back. It doesn't work. Now, of course, the diet and exercise industry is a huge industry, as is the clothing industry for people of all different sizes, the fashion industry. And these industries are sort of battling each other for what is appropriate, you know. So that was rolling around in the back of my head. And then this week I saw the story about Melissa McCarthy being on the cover of, I think it was Elle magazine. I don't know if you saw the cover. She looks gorgeous. But she's in sort of a big coat with a lot of fabric. And so there were some uproar from people saying, well, it's great that you put a quote-unquote full-figured woman on the cover of Elle magazine, but she's covered up. Why is she covered up? She should be in something that shows her body. Like, we shouldn't be hiding her body. And so this is another one that I'm of two minds on, this whole thing of being comfortable being overweight. Now, and I'm speaking from experience here. Anybody who's seen a picture of me now knows that I'm on the thin side. But let me just say, I was not always on the thin side. I have basically been every size in the book. And to be the size that I am now, I have to work my tushy off. I'm in the gym, I'm watching what I eat, and it's hard work every single day. On the other hand, I have kept the weight off that I've taken off now for about 3 years, and I hope to keep it this way. But it's hard work. It's hard work. So I feel like I'm in a unique position to criticize. So if you don't agree with me, I apologize. But here's the thing. It's not healthy to be overweight. So I'm not entirely comfortable with us saying as a society, well, you know, let's just embrace our overweightness, our fatness, and say it's great and put it on the cover of a magazine or write an article and say it's okay to be overweight and just give up. I think it's like giving ourselves permission to stop trying, and I don't like that. You know, I don't think, on the other hand, I think the America's Next Top Model and the, you know, the tiny, tiny, skinny little twigs that are a size zero, is also a problem.
Yeah, because that could be just as unhealthy, if not worse. Absolutely. To be too thin.
Absolutely. And it's documented. I mean,
yes.
The pressure, I mean, just the other day I was watching Dancing with the Stars and Snooki is on there, and she was talking about how she was anorexic as a teenager because, you know, the pressure to be thin, right? So all kinds of eating disorders can occur from this pressure to be thin, right? So I don't want to see that happen either. There's a happy medium somewhere. And you know what size it is for women? I don't know. Is it a size 8? Is it a size 10? A 12? Is it a 4 or a 6? I don't know. And I think the real point is that it has to be right for you. You have to sort of figure out where your body is the most comfortable. And I do want women to stop obsessing. I count myself among this. I'm giving advice to myself as well as everyone listening. You know, I wish we could stop obsessing about all of our flaws and be comfortable with who we are and be comfortable in our own skins. And I'm sure that goes for men as well. But at the same time, there has to be some kind of happy medium between giving in to our, you know, obsessions with chocolate cake and, you know, and being healthy. You know, there's got to be a happy medium because either side is not right. And so all these industries are fighting for your attention, you know, and I don't know where we land. You know, I like when they put, you know, somebody who's a little bit curvier on a magazine and they say, this is great because they are still healthy. You know, you don't have to be stick skinny to be healthy. In fact, being stick skinny is not necessarily healthy. The other thing is I would like to, I wonder about why we feel so sensitive about saying anything about somebody's weight. You know, it's so interesting because as somebody who used to be overweight, nobody ever said anything to me about being overweight, not even my doctor, to be honest. I mean, maybe my doctor would say, oh, you know, I mean, but so vaguely.
Like he'd kind of nudge you?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Super vague. But right. Certainly my friends, my family, the people closest to me would never say, you know, hey, Dana, you need to maybe lose a few pounds or maybe you shouldn't have that chocolate cake. Because frankly, I would kill them if they did. Let's be honest. I'd be really offended. Because if you're overweight, I mean, sensibly, you know it and you know you shouldn't be eating that chocolate cake, but you're doing it anyway, right?
But there's also people who just think they're overweight, and that's the kind of thing that could lead to anorexia.
Who are obsessing. Well, but my point was sort of going to be when I lost weight, there was a point in which I had gotten down to a little lower than I am now, and people had no problem telling me I was too skinny, which is really funny. People are like, you're too skinny. You need to gain weight. You don't look right. And people had, it really is interesting. People had no problem sharing that. But when I was overweight, nobody said, you know, you really should think about you know, losing a couple pounds. It's very interesting. And I think culturally, maybe what we need to do is be a little more comfortable having the conversation on both sides. I don't know. Either we shut up about all of it and let people do what they are going to do. Because I found it offensive when people said I was too skinny because I wasn't anorexic. I was just running a lot.
Well, I think you can make the argument that many people are more comfortable being told they're underweight than opposed to overweight, which is why... Well, because, maybe why no one told you were overweight, but people would tell you you're underweight.
Well, because I take someone saying I'm too skinny as a compliment, like because of our society, right? So people have no problem saying that because they are, you know, they just think you're that you can take it.
Why I think not? You're it's right. Fine. That's a good point. Yeah.
But I do wonder about this whole, you know, here's Melissa McCarthy on the cover. She looked gorgeous, by the way, and she's every right to be on the cover. She's a big star and she's great and she's beautiful. Period. Now I was gonna say she has a beautiful face. That's not even fair. She's beautiful. But I just wish we would not be giving an excuse to stop trying and to not be healthy. That's all I have to say. Feel free to tweet me about that if you disagree at Dana H. Barrett or hashtag BizRadio. We have lots of great programming coming up for you next week on Business Radio X. And Mike and I will be back with you in the studio next week for Week in Review. So have a great week. We'll see you then.